What is an FYP?
FYP, for you, Paige. You're not a TikTok guy.
I'm not a TikToksman. I thought he was breaking down FIP.
No.
the pitching stuff.
Yeah, you're a reels guy.
I am a reelsman.
You got to get in TikTok so it worms its way into your brain.
No, so I did download TikTok because you keep sending me freaking TikToks. And
yes.
I was
furious. Oh, you don't even have it downloaded?
No, because again, I don't need another social media.
TikTok is one you enjoy TikTok.
Honestly, it's the only one you need. Even if China is getting into your brain and
they got all my information and everything. Yeah.
Radicalizing you, whatever. As long as I still get to get, people, videotaping other people.
He's right. TikTok is taking over YouTube for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, YouTube's kind of cooked.
Yeah.
With that kind of stuff.
I can lay in bed for hours watching TikTok.
You mean you don't want to be on Twitter when a guy tweets at you, sheet started down in Lancaster, you bleeping bleeps?
Yes. Yeah.
Like that
nobody
that kind
yells
of,
at me on
the
TikTok.
The kind of fun content?
Nobody yells at me on TikTok. Nobody yells at me. Anyway.
Do you put up TikToks?
Nah.
See, how close are we to you being a TikTok influencer?
It's too hard.
Well, hold on. So a couple of your Ricky things have gone semi-viral.
Well, CJ does it. Our producer does that. But it doesn't... I don't do it. I don't understand it. I don't understand how to make TikTok good. I have one TikTok up there with my dog that I posted 3 months ago.
Never made a TikTok. Yeah. I have no idea.
I don't know how to do it. I'm too scared to do all the dances. Yeah. I don't want to...
Well, especially with your hip.
Yes. Well...
Now, my son will put me on his TikTok.
No, of course. Right. Yes. Clout chaser.
But he's clowning me, though. No, he's clowning me.
Oh, really?
It's usually things that is like the old man. It's like the funny thing. Like, my dad is doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
He should put a TikTok of you going and hitting the Chiefs guy and getting a penalty. Like, all your penalties through your career.
I don't think he's ever seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's...
The hit of Miles Austin. That sounds like
he has seen that.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, that was mandatory viewing when he was like six.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show, by the way. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are your TikTok source. The Twitter question brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Marks is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Marks. Now, we sometimes criticize Jack for framing the question in a certain way. He did frame the question in a way that may sway it a little bit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you see it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So what is your bigger concern moving forward with the Eagles, the defense or Jalen's turnovers?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we said defensive line or Jalen.
Defensive line!
Or Jalen.
Oh, so now the whole defense is just stalwart besides the edge rushers?
No, I'm just saying. You know.
Well, so... I messed up, but I didn't feel like going back and deleting it. So now I'm just going to live up there.
That's unbelievable.
And so people are voting for Jalen.
Yes, it's 73%. So the question is what gives you more concern moving forward, the defensive line or Jalen Hurts? Ike said, and we both agree, both concerning, by the way, but I'm on the Jalen side, Ike on the defensive line side. 215-592-9494. Let's see if I can get this to work. Tyreek, Upper Darby, you're on WIP.
Hi, thank you for answering the call. Love the show. I'm an Uber driver. You guys really make me feel like I'm not even working.
Oh, I love it, man.
Oh, appreciate that, brother.
I just wanted to say, I think Jalen's a way bigger issue. The defense, if you look at like Super Bowls, the defense is going to make one big play to change the game. I think Jalen will have the team not even making the playoffs if he keeps doing what he's doing. So.
Not even making the playoffs. That would be...
Yeah, I think you could see the Cowboys getting ahead of them. If he falls apart, it's going to ruin the whole season. I think he really needs to get it together.
Is that expert observation, or what is that?
Well, I mean
it's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
When you say if he falls apart, what indication do you have that he's going to fall apart?
I really hope he doesn't. I'm not going to say I have an indication about it, but it's more of just I'm nervous about it. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried, especially with how the season started off, especially how it looked like they were completely confused at the end of last season. I think it's just possible it's going to continue. I'll say it like that.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'll try to ease some of your concerns. Let's say, for argument's sake, that it does sort of continue to trend in the direction that we are afraid it would go. Now, this is where Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator, play caller, play designer, has the opportunity to dial it back a little bit. And that's where you take some of that responsibility out of Jalen's hands. And when I say responsibility, I mean by putting the onus on him to try to move the offense, chunk plays down the field. You know what you do? You turn around and hand that ball to number 26. And then now maybe Jalen is doing more play action passes, you know, getting the ball to AJ and Devontae quicker as opposed to waiting for plays to be developed down the field. That's a way to sort of at least combat some of the turnovers. Now, I agree. If he's going to have three turnovers every game, he should be benched by week 6 or 7 if that's the case. And we certainly will be calling for him to be benched if he has three turnovers a game for the next 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah, that's not going to be a great first 6 or 7 weeks around here.
So, yeah. That certainly wouldn't happen. But in all seriousness, I think there are more ways to remedy Jalen's sort of shortcomings right now than there is. I don't see where the help is coming from the defensive line. Like, I don't know how you fix that. We just hope these guys get better. Like, they have to pass rush. At least with the offense, you just wouldn't throw it as much, and you still have a running game that you can lean on. It won't be pretty, and it'll be painful, but that's a way you can sort of win without Jalen having everything on his shoulders, if that's what you're concerned with.
Yeah, definitely get that.
Tyreek, next question today. Give us a famous debate, an all-time debate.
I just wanted to say first, I'm from Harrisburg. Sheets is definitely coming for the area. It's a little too much disrespect for Sheets, I believe.
We're Wawa's, man. We're southeastern PA, bro. This is Wawa country.
I know. Just give it a moment.
Okay.
He said give it a moment.
My debate is Biggie versus Tupac.
Well, I mean, that's
a classic.
One.
That's yeah. Oof.
Got a little too serious, yeah, I would say, that debate. Well, that's a good one, Tyree. Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole East versus West, even, is bigger than Biggie and Tupac. So here is the, let me.
That was the 90s, Jack.
Yes. You remember that, Jack?
No.
No. Wasn't
well,
important.
I know of it.
You saw the movies, huh?
Yeah, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
We lived the movies.
Yeah, come on.
I know.
We were in the middle of that, bro.
Calm down, tough guy.
Yeah.
I think he was in the East versus West battles.
By the way, he's from the Midwest. I'm from the East. And we're both on the West side. Yeah, side of everything.
That. Yeah. Was Jerry Springer your mayor?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
He was the mayor and the number one news anchor in town. For NBC.
We could have had Jim Gardner this whole time.
Being the mayor?
Yeah. So that's where I remember him from. He was the mayor in the 70s. I was too young to remember him as the mayor. I remember him from the news. He was the number one anchor guy.
What a career Jerry Springer had. All
and then
that
when he
stuff.
Went to when he went to do the Jerry Springer show, it was the craziest thing, man. I'm like, man, look, what is Jerry Springer doing?
You look at the clips of that show, and it was, man, what a time.
Dude,
what?
I used to miss class.
To watch this fight?
To watch the Jerry Springer show. That's when we were in college. That was like 94, 95.
The big guy was Steve. Is that who the big guy was?
Yep.
Quick thing on defensive line, by the way.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's get back to business.
Okay, so you wanted to ease Tyreek's fears on Jalen. Mm-hmm. Let me make an attempt at easing your fears on defensive line. Mm-hmm. So the question before the season was actually with Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff was actually not ever can they get to the quarterback. Specifically with Bryce Huff, it was can he play the run? Can he be a three down edge rush? Mm-hmm. So my position would be the thing that we saw that concerned us on Friday night is actually, which is not getting to the quarterback from the edge, is actually probably something that will be solved more than we think it will. So because Bryce Huff is known as a guy who, when you tell him to get after the quarterback, he can get after the quarterback. Josh Sweat as well can definitely get after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So that we didn't walk away from that game thinking, hey, our edge really failed us in the run game, though I think overall they probably failed in the run game a few times from big plays. We walked away from that game saying, why didn't the edge guys get any pressure on the quarterback? And I would at least for the moment say, I think that is probably because of the field.
Okay.
Because my position to you would be, is Bryce Huff going to be a 100% of the snaps guy? Probably not. Is Josh Sweat going to be Hassan Reddick? Probably not. But I would think that they will be more effective than they were Friday night.
Well, they can't be much less effective than they were Friday night. And you know what? I can buy that to some degree. But what gives me cause to pause is Vic Fangio's outlook on this.
Yeah.
So when you, I'm telling you, I've heard a lot of coach speak in my lifetime. And I know when you're trying to instill some confidence in a player, prop him up, you know, not necessarily kill him, not make him look bad or what have you. And I'm not saying he's trying to make Bryce Huff look bad, but there are so many ways that he could relate us about where Bryce Huff is at that would sound so much more encouraging and that they believe in him and that he was a good signing than what he has said.
So we'll actually play you what he said right after. Jack's going to tell you about something that sucks, and then immediately afterwards, in like less than a minute, we're going to play you the sound from Vic Fangio.
Well, we know on this show already that Sheets sucks. You know, we're obviously Wawa's men. And yeah, we know the pitcher last night that threw it, Nick Castellanos, and he sucks. And this week, Kirk Cousins sucks the most. But for local businesses, they know that hackers suck. And that's where Telesystem comes in. Phishing, malware, ransomware, and social engineering are words every employee should be familiar with in today's world of increasing cyber threats. Human error is the number one cause of data breaches. So Telesystem is making it their mission to educate businesses on current threats and how to prepare for and prevent cyber attacks. Security awareness training is the first line of defense to educate employees and defend against attacks on your business. Visit hackersuck.com to get your free 30-day no obligation trial by using code Philly2024. Again, that's hackersuck.com.
I want to make it clear, I'm a Wawa's man, but if Sheets is ever in the area, I can be bought.
Let's just make sure.
Yeah, yeah. If everyone wants to line up and figure who wants Spike, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, as of now, I'm a Wawa's man. All right, here is what Vic Fangio said about Bryce Huff.
What does Bryce need to do to play more?
You know, just separate himself from the other guys.
Boo boy.
Separate himself from the other guys when the other guys are Brandon Graham in year 16 or whatever, Nolan Smith, who probably shouldn't even be on the field. That is concerning that he said he has to separate himself from those guys. It also indicates to me, and actually, because we can talk about these all at once, could you play he also talked about Devin White as well. Could you play that as well?
Do you think Kobe Dean did enough to start again should Devin White not be ready, or will he start even if Devin White is ready?
No, Kobe's the starter.
I'm curious, where does Devin White fit in, and have you talked with him about, you know, maybe Nakobe being the starter now, considering he took so many first-team reps in training camp?
Yeah, obviously we've talked to him about it, and he's still a good player. He tweaked his ankle last week. He's still part of it.
Bill
will be part of it.
So what was the type of the decision, Vic, to have Nakobe as the starter? What did you see?
I just think from the start of camp to the end, he won the job.
So your point, absolutely true on the Bryce Huff thing, is if Vic Fangio wanted to send a message saying he's trying to send a message to Bryce Huff,
yeah,
I think you need to separate yourself. You're not playing well enough.
Yep.
By the way, he said the same thing in camp. The famous we'll see to see if he's good enough to play.
Yep.
So that's the first thing. The question I have is Devin White, I'm not, was one of the, but Bryce Huff, the biggest signing on the team, by the way, as far as money goes.
And we knew Devin White's a one-year deal.
A one-year deal.
Yeah.
But both guys, and neither guy, you know, Bryce Huff playing less than half the starts, Devin White not starting at all. You sort of have to wonder, from a communication standpoint, with Vic Fangio and Howie Roseman, like, if Vic Fangio was involved in
that. Are these Vic's guys?
Are these Vic's guys?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like they're Vic's guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, you would think. And listen, I'm obviously not privy to the operations and the process they go through to vet free agents and bringing them in and making sure they fit into a scheme. But I would imagine you bring in a guy like Vic Fangio who has the experience that he has, that you want to get guys that he envisions playing in his scheme. He can visualize how he's going to use them. He likes those guys. Like, that's what you would think. Like, if I'm bringing Vic Fangio in and my defense was just as bad as it was and the coordinators didn't seem like they had a clue the year before, well, I'm leaning on Vic Fangio for everything. man, you tell me, okay, coach, these are guys that I'm looking at as far as signing. This is what we can afford to do. What do you like or dislike about these guys before I offer him $50 million? Like, I mean, that would be the prudent thing to do.
And
the Devin White situation.
And it, obviously, Vic Fangio isn't the one, he's not the one negotiating, he's not the one paying the players, all those things. But it does, you look at sort of the number of coaches that they've hired, when you talk about coordinators and head coaches. There's just, since Chip, after post-Chip, there's a lot of guys who, aside from Jim Schwartz, a lot of guys who do not have very big resumes in the NFL, not Vic Fangio type guys.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that just seems pointed. It seems like that is a decision that Howie or Jeffrey have either consciously or subconsciously made. And because hiring a guy like Vic Fangio comes with, this guy's going to want to pick out his own groceries. Like, he's been doing this too long, too successfully to have you shove a player on him who he doesn't think is his kind of player. So I almost wonder if a guy, if he didn't want a guy like Bryce Huff, he didn't think anything of him, and Devin White as well, if those guys are actually almost swimming upstream to get playing time because Fangio already maybe had a negative impression of those guys.
Well, here's the thing I would say. They both have been given the opportunity.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, Bryce Huff, he's a starter. He's out there. He's playing. So it's not like he's not being given the opportunity. They didn't bench him. They just aren't playing him as much because they feel like, I would imagine, the more he's out there, the less effective he is as a player. So they want to sort of limit some of his snaps. And that's where he's been at his best throughout his career thus far, as a situational player versus an every down player. And Devin White, he's running with the first team all training camp. The one thing we didn't hear about Devin White is making plays in training camp. We heard about N'Kobe Dean making plays. We heard about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. making plays. We heard about Zach Bond making plays. Didn't really hear about Devin White making plays. And then all of a sudden, he tweaks his ankle the week that they're going to play Green Bay, and he's not even traveling with the team, and then he lost his starting job when he was running with the first team the entire time.
It's weird.
Yes. Doesn't make sense to me. And then you hear the reports that N'Kobe had outplayed him and he was always going to start, and the Eagles were trying to trade him before the season. What?
We didn't hear any of that.
We didn't hear any of that. But all that came out last week.
So let me ask you this. Howie Roseman overall gets judged by if the team wins or loses.
Yeah.
You know, the team wins the Super Bowl, I don't care what signings failed, Howie Roseman's going to get praise.
Yep.
But at a more granular level, Howie Roseman is basically judged by what did you spend your money on, how did those players perform based on how much you spent.
I would say he's probably judged by that more than the other thing.
Well, I mean, that overall, that's what a general manager's job is.
Yes.
Is you want to get more production than the money you spent. That's basically it. You get more back than you spent. At least get equal, but the goal is to get more than you spent.
Yep.
So how does the conversation go, do you think? So, you know, Howie hears that, Howie sees that Bryce Huff plays less than half the snaps, and Howie sits down at Vic Fangio's office and he says, hey, How's Bryce doing? He's like, you know what? He's not impressing me, blah, 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 blah. And Howie's like, we really believe in him. We'd love to see him out there on the field more.
Yeah.
How does that conversation go, do you think, with Vic and Howie?
Oh, I think it's respectful. I think there has to be some deference paid to Vic Fangio because he's calling the defense. He knows what he wants out there. But at the same time, Coach Fangio knows that Howie has a certain role in this organization, and it's a prominent role in the organization, and he's spending money on players they want to see, like you just said, getting their value in return on their investment. So, but I think once a coach explains to you that, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and we're coaching him up as best we can, and we're going to try to get him out there, but I can't have him out there and hurt the team. So, and that's where I would think, and this is all hypothetical, but that's where I would think Howie would have to trust Vic Fangio.
I think the difference with Bryce Huff compared to Devin White, right? So if Howie went and had the same conversation about Devin White. If I was Vic Fangio, I could say, did you see the job N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond did on Friday
night? It's much easier, yes.
The more,
and that's one of Howie's guys, too.
Right.
N'Kobe Dean.
Yes.
Yes.
The difference with Bryce Huff is just like, it's not like, if there was a guy, an undrafted guy, let's say Jalix Hunt was out there and had 2.5 sacks or whatever, okay, I got it.
Yep.
It's not like whoever else was playing edge instead of those snaps was making noise.
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
You're saying
it's just like a harder conversation if somebody else isn't lighting it up out there.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. But here's what I would think, or I would hope. I would hope that Coach Fangio would have explained this to them. Even if you got to sit them down and say, let me show you this in practice. Let me show you this in the preseason. Let me show you evidence that I can't have this guy out here.
Sure.
X amount of plays. And I think that may have happened more with Devin White than anything. Because like I said, at least Bryce Huff is still playing. Like Devin White, where do you put him at? And he got benched last year in Tampa. So he's coming in already with a cloud over his head. And he, unlike Bryce Huff, who was signed early in free agency, targeted, Devin White had to wait a long time to get signed.
Do you think Howie mentioned the accountability text thread to Vic Fangio? See, maybe.
I'd hope so.
Yeah. So.
Here's what I'd say. You brought Vic Fangio back. Let him do what he does.
Let him do his job.
For whatever, for better or worse.
Yeah.
You can't interfere with what he's doing as a coach.
No more than 3 years here for Vic Fangio. Probably
two.
Probably two. I love him, though. I'll take him forever. If he wants to work here afterwards, somebody, call Rod. Rod, get his email address. All right. Coming up next.
Well, he is a Phillies fan, so he can help us cover the Phillies.
That's right.
Vic
Fangio Baseball Report.
That's
there
right.
you go. What's a bigger concern for you, defensive line or Jalen Hurts moving forward? 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Larry Anderson joins us.
L.A.
To heap praise upon me for saving Bryce Harper's season.
I like that.
we'll ask L.A. about Bryce Harper's game last night, the fight they almost got in like that, and are we ever going to get a good Ranger Suarez back this season? L.A. joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.